You might like to turn in your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 17, if you will. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you that we can do just that. So we're waiting, looking to you to take care of each and all in your special way. So thank you again for thy word, for thy saving grace. Help us understand. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of human history, humans prove God's rightness and the necessity of Calvary's cross, God's judgment. And history verifies both God's rightness, God's judgment. And so when you come to chapter 17 in Jeremiah, it states, verse 5, "For thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited." In other words, humans don't come out very good. If they leave God out, it doesn't work out very good at all. Verse 7, "On the other hand, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, whose hope the Lord is." For reason, explanation, "He shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her branch at roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Summation. That's the plus side, five, negative side, 5 and 6. The plus side, the tree by the water, flourishing. The heart, verse 9, is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we shared together in our study of Jeremiah, when we came to that particular sentence, "and desperately wicked, incurably sick." The heart is unable to get better. The old nature never, never gets better. How do you handle our old human nature? Crucifixion. Christ died and took us to Calvary's cross. It requires crucifixion. So our human, as we're in our human bodies, and we're here looking to God, as it were, and in the process, we face the existing conditions, the culture conditions, what we have. And everyone lives in a given period of history, a given location on planet Earth. And they do that. And they have whatever the conditions are, that. And having said that and looking at history to the present, yesterday's history is not the same as today's. It's changed. And there are many, many, the electronic field and all of that, many, many benefits in one sense. But on the other hand, human nature remains the same. And human nature hasn't changed. It is desperately wicked, incurably sick. It cannot get better. So the human heart, having a better washing machine, a better car, is not any better. Humanity goes downhill all the way. So, having said that, and so human unbelief, unbelief prevails. We leave God out of the picture. And when we leave God out of the picture, it keeps eroding. So, illustration or a point. There are special days. But special days, I want you to compare them depending on your age. Christmas, X years ago, celebrated, if you can remember it. Christmas this year. Two different things. Two different moods, movements. They're not the same. They're not the same. When it comes to Flag Day, what does Flag Day mean? Flag Day? What is it to salute the flag? What does that mean to anybody? To salute the flag? To the republic for which we stand. We don't. Flag Day. What about Independence Day? Independence Day, the founding of our country. Declaration of Independence. Labor Day. Labor Day. What about Labor Day? What about Memorial Day coming up? What about Father's Day? What about Mother's Day? Back then and now. Now, it's a whole another world. And what we used to do, or could do, or what we understood in a general way, is long gone. May show up somewhere in a particular way, but generally speaking, it's not there. It is like all of these days and all of our history. It is like these little flowers, like this. And they're good. You have a cake, have a flower, and then they fade away, and they're all gone. Huh? They're all gone. Whatever we understood, it's all gone. Just like that. Therefore, keeping that in mind, I think we need, and I've been saying it, and I'll keep saying it, we need something better, because we can't trust honoring the systems, honoring our history. We tear down the monuments. We tear them down. We tear down all the monuments that represent our history. We rewrite history in the schools, and probably the history that you had 1 year ago, they don't even know it. They have no idea of history as it was. Now, having in this subjective society, so the present day, and to compound for our America in particular, where we have these days, other countries don't have them. What have we got crossing the border? Millions of people, millions. Not 20 of them, millions. Do they understand our culture? Do they speak our language fluently? Are they ready to salute the flag? What do they even care about our country and our background? They don't. They don't. And that's what we're being inundated, that coming in. It isn't going to get any better. The newspaper, the media is not on our side to get it cleared up. So therefore, having said that and keeping that in mind, may I just go through a little bit. I think we need to lock on. We always did. Way back with Abraham, they needed, and we just did it in Sunday school. With Abraham, they looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. They didn't look for earth, anything. They didn't celebrate. We're going to have something. That doesn't mean we ought not to be thankful, thoughtful. It just, we're looking to try to get the system is down, is no more. And if you're looking to try to do it, it isn't going to go. not the way it used to. Now, having said that, and in Genesis, over if you would please, just for a moment. And in Genesis and in chapter 1, you'll remember and recall Adam and Eve were created, and even go before that in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, God created male and female. He created them in his image and likeness. Image and likeness is like looking in a mirror. God made it so when he looked at a human being, it reflected his wonderful person. Therefore, you had to be made in his image and likeness so that it would reflect. So when God looked at a human heart, he would see himself. He would see himself. And the human heart, in turn, would enjoy himself. Common. God, common. Wow. Wonderful, wonderful. That's what God had in his image and likeness. And God did that. Adam and Eve sinned, and they lost that. They lost that relationship to God. Now, in the process, God already had a plan, already had it all lined up. In Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman, God is going to go and have the seed of the woman. And God is going to provide a wonderful Savior. The devil is going to go and do his job to cripple everything. God, the devil loves darkness. God wants light. And the devil is going to do everything to put out the light, to keep it in the dark. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind if you can, sliding over to verse 20. Adam and Eve believed God to put on the coats of skin. And Adam called his wife's name Eve. Eve, and the word Eve is living, living, the living one, the living one. From the verb to be, to exist. The mother called his name Eve from the verb to live, to be. Because, why did he call her name that? She was the mother, the supporter, the sustainer of all living. There's no one living except Adam and Eve. They understand what's going to happen, but there's no visible evidence of it at all. She's the mother of all living. Boy, that's something else. Hang on to that. The mother of all living. Now, and having said that, keeping that in mind, now, so God, she's the key. And the parents are the key. And Adam and Eve had their first child, whose name was Cain. And so you don't get discouraged. Their first child, the first child from Adam and Eve, was a rebel. He was unsaved. So that'll encourage your heart. Isn't it glad anyone gets saved? So you don't have any power to save anybody. You have delegated authority to raise children. You do not have authority over them. You have delegated authority to raise them. They answer to God. They're accountable to God. Period. Now, and they need to know that. And so you don't get discouraged or get sidetracked. Now, having said that, moving quickly, over to Exodus. Exodus in chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, God is going to go and have a wonderful, wonderful way to help us. So in Exodus chapter 20, and here's the law given. Israel was going to do it by works instead of by grace, and therefore the law came, Exodus 20. And the law tells us of two things. The first four commandments have to do with God. There's only one God and only one Savior. Therefore, you need to know and honor him. He's the Creator. He's the Savior. There is none other. And he creates all humans. All humans. Hang on to that. He creates all humans. And then you have verses 13, 17, the commandments that have to do with our relationship to people. And in our relationship to people, we have that, and we're to love our neighbors ourselves, you know, and all that. And we're to have a good, healthy respect to other people. And the only way and the way, the bridge, to get from verse 13 to verse 11, to get there is verse 12, the bridge. Honor thy father and thy mother, all the days thy days may that all thy days may be long upon earth, upon the earth which the Lord God hath given thee. So the word honor, to regard one as worthy, is intensive. The intensive, a verb. Roll up your sleeves. I'm going to be busy doing what? Recognizing mother and father. That's what I'm going to be doing that. Why am I doing it? I need to know where I came from. Genesis chapter 2, etc. And chapter 3. We came from Adam and Eve. We're part of the family. We're all of us. We're all the seed, the future. All of it was in Adam and Eve. We're part of them. She's the mother. And I need to understand where I came from. If I don't understand where I came from, I'm a thing from outer space. I'm an it. I don't know all the other words. I don't want to know them. All over the place. You don't know what you are. Don't know what you are. How can you be other than what you are? And you know it's impossible to be other than what you are. You have to be what you are. And you can have all kinds of operations and everything else. They do crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. But you know what? A man is a man, and a woman is a woman. And they are distinctly different. You understand that? Women are not men. No matter what I do, I have to be a woman inside. I have to be a real woman, born a woman. Because women are different than men. You know that. Men look and see something, got it. Women look and see, and you say something, and then they're going to go, oh, you know, the whole thing. And then they say, well, why did you say that to me? He was looking at my dress. Does he think very much about my dress? We never mention the dress. I looked at the dress, and the people are going to what? Think all kinds of things about all kinds of people in all kinds of ways. Men don't do that. A potato is a potato. What is there to say? You know, right. You know, that's what men do. A potato, potato. Yeah, we're done. What's next? All you can't change. And no matter what you do, if you're a woman, you better understand you're living in a body that's womanly, no matter how you cut, no matter what you do. And the same with the man. And that's why you've got the terrible, terrible problems that are being amplified and created, and they're only going to get worse. Now, hang on. How are you going to talk about mothers to this kind of world that doesn't know what we are? What is a mother? What is a woman? The Supreme Court person. In the interview, I heard it. On the interview to be for the Supreme Court, on the Supreme Court, the person is. What is a woman? And she said, I don't know. I thought that's wonderful. We ought to get a few more people like that. That ought to make it a wonderful world. No one knows what anything is. Crazy. It's where we are. To celebrate Mother's Day the way it used to be, from a human standpoint, is gone. And we and that doesn't mean it was the best. It wasn't. We need to get to the place where we understand our humanity. To honor thy father and thy mother. That's the bridge. If you don't understand, it doesn't mean your mother or your father were geniuses or perfect or anything. It just means you understand you had to come from a woman, a mother, and you had to come by way of a father. That's the real nitty-gritty world. And if you don't understand that, how are you going to get saved? If you think you're a thing, why would you? But God didn't die for things. God didn't die for sins, things. He died because of the sin of Adam conveyed to us by way of the woman as we're born in sin. Now, conceived in sin. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, you have to honor and do it. If you don't, evolution, communism, socialism, none of that is going to get you there. If you follow that, and if you lose that, take that, and if you lose in that and by that, because of that, and you don't understand, I was born by my mother and father, whether I ever knew them or not. I was born. I need to understand that. Because I was born, I was brought into the world. They gave me the physical life. God gave me the eternal life in having a soul and spirit. God did that. If I don't understand creation, how am I going to get saved? And the seriousness of it. Chapter 21. And in chapter 21, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 15, and he that sinneth, he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely, not even question, shall be surely be put to death. Verse 17. And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. How serious is it? Honor thy father and mother. That isn't a flippant statement. It's a sobering one that we don't even want to understand. The world doesn't. The child, the son that cursed them, would be put to death. God created us. And anyway, now having, that's the value of a person in God's mind. And therefore, if you don't honor your mother and father, it's not good. You don't want to set the example that way. I want to understand where I came from and why I'm here and where I'm headed. Now, having said that, go back to a familiar passage, but let me show you, remind you. Over to Romans chapter, at chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, picking up, please. And you will notice in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They have it, but they don't want to understand it. They reject it. Now, having said that, sliding down, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. They changed the truth. They didn't want to hold the truth, verse 18, and they changed the truth. They changed the reality to other things that were not true. That's where idols and idolatry comes in. And the result, when that happens, and we don't honor father and mother, we don't understand God's creative, wonderful work in giving us human life, what are we going to do? we're going to go and go downhill. So therefore, in verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise men, verse 27, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their heart one toward another. Amen. With men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the consequence, recompense of their error, which wasn't meet, fitting. Now, point. It goes downhill, downhill. Now, how are you going to Mother's Day and all of the value of honor thy mother and thy father, honor them? But we don't do that. And if we just do it in a flippant way with a flower, which is good, nothing wrong with that, but it's only going to last a little bit. So the mother, the father, the man, woman, boy, or girl, needs to have a healthy, good understanding of why they're here and how to survive, how to succeed, how to be a happy camper in an unhappy world. I need to be able to do that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if I can, now, to do it a little different way to help you, say a problem, back over to Genesis and chapter 3. And Genesis should be right where you left it. Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, may I go directly, God is interviewing them, as it were, after the sin, and God's talking to each one. And when he comes to the woman, I'll read verse 12. And the man said, the woman thou gavest to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I did eat. So Adam went and ate the tree because his wife gave it to him, what Mary did, woman. Verse 13, and the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. The serpent done beguiled me. He went, and what did he do? He deceived me. He led me astray. He seduced me. That's what he did. He seduced me, and I did eat. I succumbed. Now, point. Thermometer and barometer. History. History is marked. If you want to study it that way, it's been studied. If you study it that way, how a woman is treated tells you how a society is going. How a woman is valued and treated tells you how a society is going, how a family is going to be. It's the key. You say, she's the mother. Why did the devil pick her? Because he could deceive her. He couldn't have got Adam. Adam just went and did what he did. But he got the woman. She's the mother. She's the source. Watch. Deception. Go with me, please, in the light of that. Over if I can. In your Bible, just think about it for a minute. Deception. So having said that, and so here we are, and you got the flow. So here we are looking at God's awesome thing. And in the process, Eve was deceived. She was deceived. That's what she was. And if you and I were to take time to read in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 14, you can do that for the sake of understanding. 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 2. And in the process, First Timothy chapter 2. Picking up, please. May I go directly, if I can, to verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived, beguiled. That's the word. Now we're going to go to the same verb and add a little word in front of it. Adam was not deceived, beguiled, but the woman being deceived thoroughly. Same verb, thoroughly. Adam just did it. She was really caught, led astray. The devil got her, used her in an awesome way. Therefore, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression, etc. Now, having said that, if you went back through history, and you go back in secular history, go back in biblical history, and you go back. And if you went back with Israel, do you remember Balaam and Balak and the wilderness before they crossed the land to go into the land? And Balak wanted them cursed. Balak did, the king. Now, and of course they couldn't. Balaam said, you can't curse God's people. If God blesses them, they're blessed. You can't curse them. What can you can do? You can't curse them, but you can corrupt them. You can corrupt them. You can get them inside. You as a believer, if you're saved, the only way you lose is because you choose to lose. The devil can't do it. No one can do it. The circumstances can't do it. Nothing can get you off course if your heart is resting in God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. But, so the only way that the system can work in is get you. How did communism back in the 50s, 1950, all of that, how was it going to come? They weren't going to attack us. What were they going to do? Surround us, communism, to get our nuclear power and everything else, to get it to be so afraid of everything, about everything. So we'd kill ourselves fighting each other. You got race today and all of that. What's the purpose? Destroy it. To destroy the ability to fight, to stand for anything. Now, hang on. And so now, here we are looking, and here's Numbers 25. How did Balaam do it? Balak do it? He took the daughters of Moab, and he sent them into the Israelites. And what did they do? The women are very persuasive, understandably. And they did what they did. And so the straight shooters with God got tied up into what? Idols and idolatry. That's what they got tied up into. Because the woman brought it in. Remember now. And if you can, keep going. Over to Ezra. You need this understanding stuff, you need us, to get to the positive. You understand what you're up against. Otherwise, you lose. What would I say? Ezra. Ezra chapter 9. And may I go directly in the light of it all, verse 2. Verse 1. Verse 1. Now when these things were done, the princes came to me, saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the people of the land of the lands, doing according to their abominations, even to the Canaanites, Hittites, Perizzites, Jebusites, Ammonites, Moabites, Egyptians, and the Amorites. 4, verse 2, they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and the rulers hath been chief of this trespass. So, women, keep going. Nehemiah, keep a little later. Here comes Nehemiah along. And Nehemiah, if I can, in Nehemiah and in chapter 13. And may I go to verse 26. Nehemiah 13:26. Did not Solomon, the king of Israel, sin in these things? Yea, among many nations was there no king like him, who was beloved of his God. And God made him king over all Israel. Nevertheless, underline, even him did outlandish women cause to sin. Solomon, I thought you understood everything. He did, but boy, when it came to women, he gave in. Wow. And verse 27. Shall we then hearken unto you to do all this great evil, to transgress against our God in marrying strange wives? That we lost the relationship to God, and how is it done? By women. Now, in the light of, think of Eve, the beginning, Genesis 3:20, the mother of all living. And then you go through and follow history as it's gone down. Think of the church in Thyatira, that woman Jezebel. What happened to the church? It's that woman Jezebel. Easy to see. Revelation 17. Revelation chapter 17. And you will note, as we come to the end of the age, the churches, how are they tagged? How is religion tagged? It's as tagged as a mother, as a woman. And you'll notice, please, in verse 1, and they came out of the seven angels, came out of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto him, come hither, and I will show thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, sliding all the way down the system, religion, politics. Politics uses religion. Religion uses politics. How is it tagged? It isn't tagged as a male. It's tagged as a female. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. Now, the devil knows where to start with a woman. That's where he can get his edge. And it's been successful. It will be to the end. Now, having said that, let's put together again, the positive. You got that? You got that part. Now you understand. Now I want to see myself. You want to see yourself as a male, a female, as a woman, a mother, a father, whatever. You want to see yourself. Okay. Now, and knowing the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked and incurably sick. Now, oh, if I can, please. Oh, for time's sake. Over to Matthew. And in chapter 12. What do you and I need to do? Because the system doesn't keep us, we can have all the good days and bad days, but they aren't going to last. So therefore, God, we need some help. God said, I saved you from the system. saved you from the system. Now, how did you save me, God? I had a mother and father, my mother and father, etc. And we know that I came not to send a sword among you, but a division. I came to save you out from mother, father, brother, sister. I came to save you out from all humans. All humans answer to me. They are accountable to me. They're not accountable, they're accountable to me, and I am going to make them, they're going to give an account. Now, so Matthew chapter 13, about chapter 12, excuse me. And you remember, he introduced so that people would begin to get a clue to this, what's going to happen on the cross. Now, verse 47. Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him, him that told him, Who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand to his disciples and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For, explanation, 50, Whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Now, so here's the dear mothers, and God bless them. No question about it. But, and mothers have a lousy job. They have an assignment. And it's one thing to cuddle the little baby when they goo-goo, you see. It's another thing when they start learning how to, they say no, and you got all the problems, they're going to come. You got them. It's a whole other world. It's a thankless world. They do day and night, taking care, growing up. That's how we grew up. We didn't grow up accidentally. We aren't like a little elephant. Oh, no, you're better than a little elephant. A little elephant can hang around a little while, and it's big enough. It walks around, gets a little drink now and then, and pretty soon gets its own bunch of leaves. Okay? Us humans, we're the only creatures on earth like it. What are we going to do? We're going to spend all those years with someone watching over us. We got to grow up. You can't afford to leave me alone. I'm too little. You got to watch over me. We're like that. Now, God, what did you do? God said, I want you to know, I've made possible a unique relationship to me that takes you out of this system into the system that is survivable and succeeds, is very secure and wonderful. I'm going to take you out of this system into myself in a most wonderful way. I've made you in my image and likeness. So when his mother, father, they honor your mother and father. I got all that. What am I going to do? I need to come to know you as my Savior. God is going to bring me out of these relationships that are all frail, faulty. He's going to get me out of them into one that is solid and safe and secure. That's what I need. The body isn't secure. The heartbeat isn't secure. Nothing's secure. Nothing's for sure. Except my relationship to God. That's what I need to be resting in. And someone can say, I love you today and hate you tomorrow. Change just like that. So don't even start. Thank God for a little bit of good, but don't count on it. Count on God to get there. Now, in the process, not only that, now move over if I can in the light of that. Over if I can to Luke chapter 1. Boy. Luke chapter 1. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God said, I've done something wonderful. You are my brother, my sister, my mother. You're my family. I bring you into the family of God in a most wonderful way. Now, so here's Luke in chapter 1, and here's the Virgin Mary. Here's the mother, a mother of all mothers by some systems. 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, 1 and 27 Luke. Of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Highly, remember we shared this 1,000 times, highly favored. It means be graced, be favored. God graces you, he favors you. Mary is favored. There's no question if you were to pick a woman in the Bible who's favored by the religious systems, Mary's going to come up there. You've got to pray to Mary, etc. Mary's going to come right up there. She's highly favored among all women. That's pretty good, isn't it? And in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, as you know, in verse, and may I go directly to verse 6. I got to read verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us, believing believers in the church age, in the body of Christ, accepted. The two words highly favored in Luke 1:27, here they are translated accepted, highly favored. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us highly favored in the beloved. And now, mother, ladies, woman, what is more awesome than that? And I'm just a man. Women are women and men are men. And we want to find value. And mothers, God bless them. But if you're a mother, I want to find myself, along with the rest of the believers, in Christ Jesus, highly favored. Eve, back in Adam, Genesis 3:20, Eve, highly favored, the mother of all living. Here's Mary, highly favored, above the mothers of all living. Highly favored, giving birth, Christ born of a woman. Wow. And we, and now, in Christ, are in God, who created us in his image and likeness. We are as his brother, as his sister, as his mother. We are his in a unique way. And that's why in God's holy, happy heaven, there is no male and female. We'll do all that. There is no male or female. So it isn't all about us. No, it's about something wonderful. Now, having said that, you got the idea? That's what you want to lock onto. I'm a believer in Christ. You have a unique relationship to God. I may live in a body that's fading and faulty and everything else, but this isn't it. No. God has done something wonderful in Christ on Calvary's cross and made it so I can have a unique relationship to him as a person, in his person, as a child, as his son, all of us. Wow. Do you know in Cambridge, where I was raised up in Somerville, Cambridge, and in Harvard Colleges and all of that. And up there some years ago in the Mount Auburn Cemetery, old cemetery in Cambridge, Mount Auburn Cemetery. And if you were to go in that cemetery, there was a mound with a couple of flowers around it maybe there. And old stones, Not a very impressive stone, marble stone, like some are very fancy. This wasn't fancy. Not just a simple little stone on the top of the ground. And on the stone, you remember, if you remember it, on the stone was no born, no, that wasn't there. All that was on the stone was a hand and a finger pointing upward. And the name Mother, Mother, pointing up. Mother is gone. You wonder where she is? Up. Her message, her testimony was upward. Unique. Her message, is it not? That's what a godly woman, that's what godly men, God-fearing men and women, boys and girls, male and female. That's what they'll enjoy. God made it possible for us to be something, have something, enjoy something in a lousy, in a world that doesn't care 2 cents about light and life and love and God. And all of those things are missing. In darkness, sin, sorrowing, and suffering. No, I choose God. I choose Christ. The flowers are nice. The recognitions and coming and going. The good days, the bad days. People loving and people hating. Changing. I'm going to look to God, who rescues me from all of this with thanksgiving. Well, our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you very, very, very much. So God, we just, what can I say? All the things we try to do to find value and they only last for a little bit like the flower and then they disappear. The good, the bad, the easy, the hard, the much, the little. So God, we understand that part a little bit. God, we live in it. But boy, we're looking to you, God, to keep us from being in bondage to it. Set us free from such thinking that we find our safety, we find our security, we find our surety in your wonderful saving grace. And that, God, we can proceed in the bumps and troubling days, troubling times. God, we can proceed looking to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you.